You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello listeners, welcome to a new episode of the Particular Party of Podcast. So joining me on today's episode is... How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fine, Emmanuel. How about you? Happy to be here again.
Well, I'm excited, as most Atleti fans are, for the new season, because we are all excited to see Samuel Lino playing as a left-wing back and many more. So... this is the preview podcast for the Atleti season, and we are going to be talking about a lot of things. What has happened during the preseason? How are Atleti planning to approach this season? We're also going to talk about who Atleti are going to face on match day one, which is Granada. And then we talk about the squad to see if Atleti are good to go or Atleti need some reinforcements and departures. So, without wasting any time, let's jump into it. So, Atleti kind of started preseason not on a very good note. But as preseason progressed, we kind of saw positive things, because the main aim of preseason is not basically the results. It's true that every manager wants to win. There's no manager in the world who likes defeat, even if it's a friendly game. But the main thing about it is getting the players fit, passing down maybe ideas you are going to use throughout the season. And then you saw those things. So... talking about the results, Atleti kind of lost their first game against the K-League All-Stars, which was 3-2. Then after that, we had the champions of Europe beaten by 2-1. And then we had a 0-0 draw in Mexico against Real Sociedad. And then you have another one in San Francisco, which was against Sevilla, and we drew 1-1. So, we are going to dive right into it. So, Bert, what's your take on the preseason?
I really like the preseason this time around, simply because we got a bunch of new faces early on before the preseason games started, which is very rare for us. Although. On paper, you look at the games, and again, as you said, we don't really have to care as much about what happened in the score sheet. But there were a lot of things that we could conclude from preseason. A lot of good things I saw from preseason came from the new faces, which is very good. I was very, very surprised with Soyuncu. I'm starting to wonder how Brendan Rodgers was freezing in last year. I was really, really impressed with him, as well as with Samuel Lino, who I think is going to have a very, very good season this year in La Liga. But again, we started to see the same issues coming up one after the other, right, in preseason, namely we don't have anyone who can score goals, right? I mean, I think the common theme in this preseason was so many missed chances, especially during the Korean All-Stars and against Sevilla, so many missed chances in both games. In the first half, we should have put up so many goals in both of those first half. I really enjoyed the Man City match. I really enjoyed the Man City match because it was the first kind of game where there was a lot of pressure on the team, right? You know, we were going to face a team who was going to play their first competitive match in maybe a week. And they were ready to win, and they showed us their intent to win. The thing is, we were very, very good defensively on the day. There were very good surprises. I was very impressed with the number of the guys. But at the same time, I'm a bit confused why we didn't see a lot of Galan this preseason. I really don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what you think, for example, on that we didn't see much of Galan. Could it be because Cholo doesn't trust him yet, or he doesn't think he is ready?
Well, on Galan is very, I think it's really, really hard to pin down, because on the press conferences Cholo has given, he has not really talked much about Galan. He mentioned him, he mentioned about Lino and Carrasco on the left, which is kind of bizarre, because when Aleti signed Galan, we all knew, okay, yes, he's coming as a natural left back, but he can also do well as wing back. And majority of La Liga fans know about Galan. Like we talked about Galan on the previous spot, the type of player he is, a guy who has the engine to go up and down the flank, which means he can play as a wing back, who is good in dribble. He may not be as good as Carrasco, but he's one of the best dribblers that is around, and a guy who can also make runs behind. And last spot, we talk about his differences between him and Carrasco. But now it's kind of bizarre, because apart from the first game where he entered and Carrasco was kind of injured, we have not seen much of him, and which is, like you said, bizarre, because the club kind of bringing him in was good, but it seems what Samuel Lino has shown in preseason is really maybe what has changed Cholo's mind. And when I talk about what he has shown, is due to the fact that Cholo has mentioned him a lot and also talk about his pace. Because one of the things I noticed in preseason is when Aleti kind of have set pieces, Lino is not among those who are in the box. He's among those who are at the edge of the box, so that in case of a rebound and then Aleti have the ball, you can now launch a counter-attack, which is similar to the first goal against Aleti score against the K-League All-Stars. So I think maybe Cholo's plans have changed. One never knows, but we'll see that as the season goes on. But at the moment, we all know, or we are not so sure, Galan is in Cholo's plans. So we talked about Aleti main issue, which is something which has been a reoccurring theme for years now, but we just had an exception when Suarez came and he solved that for us. Aleti don't have a player who can score 15 plus goals. At the moment, we have Morata, and like Cholo said, Morata, there are a lot of chances for him, and those chances are not just down to the team, but also down to Morata's ability to be in the right place at the right time. But he kind of lacked that killer instincts. Don't you agree?
My personal take on Morata is he is a very complete player. He does a lot of things really, really well. He's very good holding the ball. He's very good playing the ball. Strong, fast, but he doesn't have that, like, he isn't world-class in any of these attributes. And I think that's the biggest problem. For a club who is fighting for titles, who is fighting against the best of the best in Europe, he isn't that sort of player, you know, to guarantee 20 goals a season, which is what we really need. When Morata was being linked with a move outside of Madrid, I was very on defense, you know, because we know what we have with Morata, we know what he can offer, we know what he lacks. But at the same time, we know that he will not go for a lot of money, and how the finances in the club are right now. If he does leave, we're not getting anyone who is better than Morata. So might as well stick with him for what until we can afford a better striker. That's what I think about Alvaro Morata.
Well, it seems this season, Aleti's goals are going to be... spread out within the team, and we are hoping Griezmann can turn out like he did after the World Cup. And then it seems if Aleti is to have a 15-plus goal scorer this season in the league, it seems that will be down to Memphis Depay's fitness. And despite the fact that Morata has attributes which Cholo mentioned in his recent interview with Marca, which you can find on the Papos page, like his height, he attacks the channels very well. But you have Memphis, and one of the greatest attributes Memphis have is his associativity, which is how he links up with players. And that partnership we saw, not for throughout the preseason, but we saw for spells, and you can see how well he linked up with the likes of Griezmann. And despite the fact, and another aspect of him is he loves to play towards the left-hand side, which is great because he can then link up with Carrasco and free up Carrasco, because the way Aleti played in previous seasons, or since from the title-winning season, you kind of have that overload on the right, and then you have a switch of play to Carrasco on the left, which kind of create a 1v1. And most of the time, Carrasco has to dribble his way through. But now, if he has someone he can play, a give and go, someone who can maybe free him or will give him other options, I think that would be great for Aleti's attack. Listen, so what's your opinion when it comes to, from just from the preseason, between Memphis and Alvaro Morata?
The difference between them?
Your opinion on them, what do you think both can offer, and how who do you think will be like the regular season, or is it going to be down to the type of game we have to face?
I really think it really depends on the type of game that we're going to face. It depends on the kind of defenders that Cholo will expect to have against him. As you said, I really like Memphis, his link-up play, something which is it's mostly because he isn't a pure traditional number nine like Morata is. Morata is the only traditional number nine we have in the squad. But Memphis, for example, what I really like about Memphis is when we play against teams who have a low block, Morata doesn't try to beat the man and go for the shot, right? Like from outside the box. Morata isn't that kind of striker, but Memphis is. Memphis is very good at reading the space that he has, controlling, moving around his body and turning the player. Once he does that, what does he find in front of him? Space to shoot. And that's something which I really, really like about Memphis, especially last season. We started seeing some bits of it as well in preseason. For example, against Sevilla, there was a time when he did it, and the shot got blocked. But I really like Memphis Depay again. As you said, I think it's going to depend a lot on his fitness. He has always been a streaky kind of player over the years. So we'll have to see what happens and how Cholo will go around this. Will it be by incorporating competition between the two strikers? Because I really don't think that Cholo has a clear favorite between the two right now. It depends a lot on who offers more.
Okay. Like you said, it depends on who offers more. And like Cholo says, he doesn't give out places to people. People earn them. And like you said, Memphis has been a streaky player. But like Cholo said, he wants to bring the best out of Memphis. He says he wants to bring out that Memphis Depay he saw in Lyon. The guy who commanded Lyon attack and finish with double figures for goal and assist. If we can have that Memphis Depay, the first thing would be for him to remain fit throughout the season, because his contribution last season was really great, but now you had an injury came and then he could not finish the season. So if Memphis stay fit, then we know we are going to have real competition for the place, because at the moment there's a lot of competition for places, which is good for the team because it kind of pushes the players to give their all, because you know if you don't perform well, no matter who you are, what happens, Cholo is going to put you on the bench. So we have talked about how the preseason went and some of the key things we were not really sure about, and maybe some of the things that Atleti could have done better, like you said, in the finishing, but we cannot bring in someone who is better than Morata, and we just praying Morata can score 15 plus goals this season if he can finish. Like, we don't want finishes like the case we saw against Sevilla at the beginning of the game, because against the K-League All-Stars, there were so many chances and the first half could have been 5 plus 0. In the game against City, we had a decent amount of chances, but we could have scored more. In the game against Real Sociedad, we had a fair amount of chances, and against Sevilla, like you said, we had so many chances. So, you notice, Atleti are creating so many chances, and that's been the team since the World Cup ended. So, but my question to you is, do you think Atleti are going to continue with the same way they ended last season, or are there some tweaks Cholo is going to make before Atleti play on Monday? Because at the time of recording is Saturday, before Atleti play their match day one on Monday.
I think we're going to see a mix, because there are a lot of different profiles right now in the team. Last season, for example, on the left, we relied a lot on Carrasco, and we all know how Carrasco plays with the ball. Samuel Lino, for example, who was one of the shining stars in preseason, is a completely different player to Carrasco. So that offers a new dimension going forwards. You know, Samuel Lino is a much more friendly player with the ball. He plays a lot of 1-2s. We saw it a lot in City against City and or against the All Stars. Where he was playing really, really well with Griezmann, finding each other going forward. Well, while we don't really see that much from Carrasco, right? We also have someone new into the team, someone who is still learning his role, but again, he offers a lot differently from the other competition he has, which is Riquelme. Riquelme is very different from Molina. We saw how he was finding issues playing with Llorente simply because they were attacking the same spaces. But at the same time, during the conferences, Simeone seems to be convinced that Riquelme has a place in the team. So again, we're going to have to wait and see what happens in the season. I really hope that Riquelme manages to get minutes. Unfortunately, with Molina's injury, we're going to see more of Llorente at right back if Riquelme doesn't manage to convince Cholo at the beginning of the season. We'll have to see on that. From preseason as well, I really liked how the midfielders were playing. Rodrigo De Paul is still playing at the high level that he was at the end of the season. Lemar seems to have gotten his form again. So we'll have to see going forward, you know? We have to see going forward. Again, something which we lacked at the end of the season and hopefully will help us a lot this season is the return of Jan Oblak. The last couple of games were very, very tense simply because we didn't have that god goalkeeper at the back. And we were starting to receive a lot of goals simply because Gribic isn't the kind of player that Oblak is. We'll have to see.
Well, like you said, we will have to see, because having Oblak is very, very massive for the team, because he is not only among one of the best shot stoppers I've ever seen in my life, but he also brings that calmness and leadership at the back, which is fantastic. And we saw against Sevilla, this double save he made at the end after Atleti kind of messed up. So that's great. Talking about Riquelme in particular, with Molina out injured, Atleti signed Azpilicueta as a player who can play the right wing back and also the right back. Like I said in the previous spot, I wanted the guy from Girona, who I think was younger, and then Cholo can build into that position, but it seems he'll be heading to Barcelona. But having Azpilicueta is fantastic. Like I said, I was not a fan of the deal initially, but I kind of like the guy now because the positive energy he brings to the team. He's also a leader. Cholo also talk about him that we don't just want players who are good on the ball, but we also want who are good for the playing football, but we also want players who can bring a lot of things that others can learn. And having guys like Barrios, Riquelme, Lino in the dressing room with Azpilicueta is fantastic, given the type of person he is. And I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from some Chelsea fans who he kind of like interacted with them and get to know them personally just for being fans. And then you also kind of know that the guy is a leader, was the Chelsea's captain, and also in the dressing room, he was really, really great. So now you also have Riquelme. Sorry, I just had to praise Azpilicueta a lot because I've kind of really liked the guy. So going to Riquelme, it seems Cholo prefers Azpilicueta at the moment as a right centre back, especially with Mourinho going on loan to Real Zaragoza. So that means Azpilicueta will play more as a centre back than actually as a right wing back. But with Riquelme, I think he has to adapt to the role. Like you said, he has to convince Cholo, or else we'll see Llorente at right back, because his attributes are kind of different. You have a guy who loves to cut inside, a guy who loves driving with the ball, because like you mentioned, he and Llorente kind of had a lot of friction, because Llorente is making a run, expecting the pass, but now you have Riquelme wanting to carry the ball. So it's like you have these two players who are different, and if they are able to connect, they can make the most of each other, because Riquelme can make the most of Llorente's runs to drive in with the ball and then create something, a link up. Because one of the things, especially with Memphis playing, is the fact that his associativity with his teammates is very good. So if they can actually link up, that would be fantastic for Atletico, because Riquelme, like you said, against Lobo, we need guys who can shoot from the edge of the box, and Riquelme can do that. And you have Llorente attacking space. So you have two guys in which, if they can actually link up with their differences, Llorente good at attacking space, good at making run in behind the position box. As for Riquelme, good with the ball, good dribbler, can cut inwards. So if you have them combining these two attributes, then that is fantastic for Atleti at the moment, until Molina returns. But now we will see, because they have rumors like on match day one, Cholo plans to start with Riquelme, because it's like Cholo kind of seeing what I'm seeing. I'm not saying I'm in Cholo's mind, but at the moment, it seems like he's seeing what I'm seeing, because it's like you have these two guys. I think for those who watch anime, it's like, for example, you have like One Piece, for example. It's like you are fighting, and then you have two, like, for example, let's say Zoro and Sanji, they are like combining their attacks to fight against somebody. So it's like, I go with my leg, as you're about to dodge, Zoro comes with his sword. Sorry, if you don't watch One Piece, it would be nice for you to watch One Piece. I think I've said it better, Beth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like your One Piece analogy, because it's something that, One Piece is something I really like, and I spend a lot of time watching as well. So I understand what you're going at. I think that, first of all, I agree with you. I really, really like Azpilicueta. I liked him as a signing before, simply because he offers something different. He is very good in a number of positions. For example, right now I think that we're starting to see the decline of Stevan Savic. So we need to find someone who is good on the ball, good at the back, strong, and then can lead going forward. Yep. And we'll have to see if maybe Azpilicueta is that short-term solution that Cholo was looking for, or if we're going to see someone else take that spot. On Riquelme again, I understand how difficult it will be for him, simply because he was always a winger firsthand. What he used to do at Girona was very good. That's what I really liked from the player, and I really wanted to see him being incorporated into the squad. But how the squad is built really doesn't have space for the kind of player that Riquelme is right now. So Simeone will have to transform him into a wing back, as he did with the likes of Carrasco, as he did with Llorente, and a number of others. So we're going to have to see what happens with that youngster. I don't think that Llorente will be a starter this season, though. So at least that's not going to be an issue for Riquelme. I think that right now Depaul will most definitely always be first choice on the team sheet and usually will play on the right-hand side of the three-man midfield. So he will, he's the player that I think will find Requelme most of the time. And we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens. For example, with Molina, if he comes back fit, if he comes back needing to be incorporated into the games, if he comes back still not 100%, we're a very different team without Molina. At the end of the season, I think he was the best player at Atletico after Antoine Griezmann at the end of the season.
For sure. Well, you just mentioned the fact that Lorente is not going to be a starter this season, and I agree with you on that because, like Vitor said in a presser, and there's more emphasis in training on bringing out the ball from the back. And like a clip I shared on my Twitter page about the K-League All-Star pressing Atletico, and you have Cholo shouting, "Tranquilo, tranquilo." And you have the team kind of play their way through, which was nice because when he was shouting Tranquilo, it kind of took me back to the 2013-14 season, the semi-final against Chelsea, when Chelsea took the lead. And I think we can all remember Chelsea's front three, Dembaba, Eto'o and Fernando Torres. So when Chelsea took the lead, you have him telling his players to calm down, like, we are still in this. And that kind of brought me on, because after that, we know what happened. So there's more emphasis on building up from the back, which is fantastic to see from an analytics perspective. And now you have Lorente. Lorente is not very good with the ball. When I say very good, because under pressure, you don't want him next to your goal. And with given how the work the ball does, because in the preseason, what the team has been Atleti building up from the left hand side with Hermoso, and then Witzel kind of play centrally, and you have Lima coming to join. Those are players who are kind of good under pressure. You know, Carrasco, Lino. Now, the emphasis is to lure the opponent to that side, and then you have somebody to switch play. And most of the time, Lema has been the one to send it centrally to Depol, and then he now is able to send to the right wing back, which that's basically how Atleti has attacked for majority of the preseason. So having Lorente in that position is not really ideal, because I think technically he's not the best, and he's, like, in my opinion, I would say a player who is meant for, like, phase three or, like, the attacking phase, because there he can do all what he wants. He's a player who attacks space, but now having him the build up is not really good. I think that is the reason why I agree with you, he's not going to be a regular starter this season, and we are going to see Depol in that role, which will be great. And as for Lema, I just hope he stays fit, because it seems the way Atleti want to build up is kind of really nice, and if Lema stays fit, then he kind of impacts how Atleti will play this season, because he's just incredibly good. It's just that Atleti, he has been inconsistent, and then injuries. We all recall an interview. I think that time the passport wasn't available, so I shared on my Twitter page, and we had him talking about that during the COVID. Him talking about the fact that the conversation he had with Cholo during that time of COVID, and how he wanted to better improve, because we had Cholo saying that if only we could watch Lema in training, then we would see what he sees and why he keeps playing Lema. And we saw that in the title winning season, how influential he was. Especially in the game, I think, against, I think it's Alaves, I think, at home, where Oblak saved the penalty. So, he's just incredible. And he can say, I think, what Cholo is now demanding from Lema, because he believes Lema has now understand what he requires from him in terms of helping the team progress, play, organize, play, create chances. Because during the title winning season, he was one of the chief creators for Atleti. Now, Cholo demands from him is to score goals. And I think during the second half of the season, we could see Lema trying to make runs into the box to get at the end of chances. And that is something I am looking forward to this season. Is will Lema be able to make those runs consistently and get goals? Because it's something he can do. So we have just talked about how we expect Atleti to play, because we cannot talk about that without mentioning some of the profiles which we have mentioned. That is those who influence the game. We all know Griezmann will be at the heart, and then Cook be at the heart of everything Atleti, and then you have Koke organizing the play. And I want to ask your opinion. What is your opinion on the fact that, because we are going to talk about transfers. So what is your opinion about, let's say, because it seems at the moment, Cholo sees Barrios as a backup for Koke. Because he mentioned Barrios as a player who, if you allow him up the pitch to create chances, he does. If you allow him to make runs, he make runs. If you allow him to be the organizer from the back, he does that. Because in the preseason game, we saw him coming on for Koke as when like the first team has played, and then you have in the second half, you know, preseason he goes and they change everybody. So what's your opinion on me saying I see Barrios like a backup for Koke if Aliti does not sign another midfielder?
Barrios, first of all, I think is the most similar player to Koke we have in the team. It's both good and bad. So, I mean, at the end of preseason, at the end of last season and beginning of preseason, this is what we were hearing from the club, that they were looking for someone to share the responsibility with Koke. If that meant finding a player who fits perfectly into what Koke does right now, Barrios fits that role. But I don't think that that's the sort of player that we need right now, unfortunately. I really wish that Atletico go look harder into offloading some player in order to guarantee a more physical midfielder to compete with Koke, because I think that's the biggest issue with our midfield, is that most of the time we do not have that physical presence to bully and players in the middle of the pitch, you know, like for example how Kondogbia in some instances used to do, or for example Gabi used to do. We are lacking a physical presence in the middle of the field, and we have to look into the market to find that kind of player, because Barrios right now isn't that kind of player. Do I think that this year he will have more minutes compared to last year? Yes, because I think Barrios is a very good talent, and it does well for Simeone and the club to have someone like him playing if he isn't loaned out. Simply because in a couple of years' time, when we eventually do say goodbye to Koke, Barrios is going to be the player that will take on that role. With the ball, Barrios, with his very energetic attitude, how he drives forward with the ball, how he always strikes back, he's always where he is needed, and he offers what Koke offers. But yes, I don't like our chances of competing if Barrios is the player that the club think will play in at the back of the midfield three, for example.
Well, I get your point, because at the moment Aliti lost Kondogbia, and Aliti lost, that was because Kondogbia was brought in after Aliti had lost Partey and Aliti had lost Rodri. So Aliti needs a destroyer, someone who can be disruptive of the opposition play, someone who is, like you said, physically can dominate opponents, and like we saw when Kondogbia was at his best in Aliti shirt. So we need that person, and it seems the personality are going for is Højbjerg. Like I've mentioned in the previous podcast, and I mentioned on my Twitter page, I'm not really a fan of Højbjerg as a pure five, unless Cholo has plans of bringing him back to the guy he was before he joined Southampton, as he was at Bayern, and Pep made a comment about him seeing similarities to Busquets and the rest. So if Højbjerg can be that guy, then good, because at the moment Højbjerg has been playing as a box-to-box guy, similar to what Llorente offers. Somebody who is energetic, can make runs in behind, can carry the ball, just that he's more technically secure on the ball than Llorente. So if the club are buying him, I'm sure he will have to undergo some transformation, because the player he is at the moment is not what Aliti needs, in my opinion. Well, but moving on, what are some of the conclusions you draw from the preseason? So I know you have already mentioned some about the fact that Riquelme is going to be a wing back, but what are some of the conclusions you have seen from the preseason that you think is going to like affect Aliti season or we should be looking forward to as the season Aliti season kicks off on Monday?
I think the player I am most looking forward to seeing playing this season, well, apart from Galan, but again we haven't seen much about him, is Soyuncu, simply because he was a player that I didn't like these past couple of seasons at Leicester, especially after how he got frozen out by Brendan Rodgers. After he didn't want to sign an extension of his contract, but from what we were seeing in preseason, He is here to play. He is a very good defender, good on the ball, physical, fast. We're going to have to see. I think that he will play a very important part, especially considering, as we know, Jimenez is out injured. Unfortunately, so does Soyuncu get injured often. So we're going to have to see now that we have three defenders who are often injured. It's going to be very hard on us if they are all injured at the same time. But at least we have someone that we can rely on if one of the others is out for an extended period of time. I am also very looking forward to, as you said, Lamar, simply because I wasn't convinced these past couple of seasons of Thomas Lamar, and he has shown glimpses of what he can do. Unfortunately, as you said again, whenever he does have that continuity and you're starting to believe in Lamar, he gets injured again, which is not his fault. If he can manage to have an injury-free season, I think that he is going to be a very important player going forward for Atletico, simply because that we do not have a player similar to Lamar in the squad. You know, a left-footed player capable of playing like he does. The player that sometimes changes with Lamar is a completely different profile. Sometimes at the end of last season, for example, we used to see Saul change with Lamar. But again, Saul is a very different player. Again, I do hope that he's going to have a much better season this year. At the end of last season was giving me hope that we're starting to see good glimpses of Saul again. But if Lamar keeps playing the way he does, I don't see any way of anyone benching him in his role and with the ball going forward.
Well, like you mentioned, a lot of things to look forward to. Like Soyuncu, I was actually one of the few who were positive about his signing because of what he could offer. But now that was the issue, ifs and like. Emiliano told me, I'm sure if you have been listening to the podcast, you must have heard him a few times. That's at Molojo Simo on Twitter. He said, yes, but his levels are low. And like we have seen in training, we have seen the preseason games. Like you said, he's here to play and he looks like a warrior, die for the team on the ball, say, okay, good, can carry the ball forward and the rest. So that's something I think you guys should all look forward to. And you mentioned about Lema and what he can offer. And you also mentioned Saul, who seems to have like one back a spot in the team, but not a starting role, but at least have a spot in the team. And we talked about Byros, and one of my fears of Byros is that he may become Saul, like a jack of all trades, like what you said, good and a bad thing. Hopefully he can nail down a role and now have what he is good at. I think many Atleti fans and also La Liga fans are not really aware of how good Byros is. And I think that's down to maybe him not having like a starting role in the team. I'm not saying he is as, or comparing him to the likes of Pedri, but I think he's at a very good level, not trying to put a lot of pressure on him, but I know he has a lot of potential, and I'm sure Cholo sees that as well, because he's also full of praise for Barrios. So for me, the things you should look forward to the season is how Atleti progress the ball. That's building up from the back. Oblak's distribution should be something.
You just reminded me something. Speaking about Barrios, as you did, something, a player that I am looking forward to seeing him play minutes in this season, simply because of a number of minutes that he was getting in preseason, is Kostis.
Yeah, Cholo's. I remember in Cholo's press conference, Maka, he said we have Kostis, and I like him so much. And that kind of sent like a lot of things were going through my mind. I'm like, why would Cholo say that? Why would Cholo say that? I was just thinking maybe it's what manager said, but I kind of realized what one of the things I noticed about Ilias Kostis in preseason is that he has the vision. He sees those passes. He has the ability to also play those passes between the lines, something Hermoso offers. But now my problem with him is that he's too vertical, which also reminded me of Hermoso and the Premier, like what was leaked about the conversation between Hermoso and Cholo. And Cholo was like, you are this, you are very good on the ball, but you need to pick your moments. And I think that is something Cholo has seen, because at the moment, everybody is like, yeah, Atleti's build-up is so dependent on Hermoso, which is true. And there is no left center back, which La Liga systems, who he was here with me on the podcast, there's the previous podcast, he also mentioned, yeah, he's like that. So what do we do? I think
Ilias that he is 20 years old.
Yeah, so he's like of age. So I don't want to get too excited. I don't want to raise the listeners' hope up, but let's see how the season goes. But I feel a type of Lucas Hernandez vibe. I mean, how he's going to come to the first team. Fingers crossed on that. And let's see how he goes. So, like I was saying, Ilias Kostic-Best just added that. That's another thing you can look forward to the season. I talked about Oblak's distribution because that was something each preseason it looks like it has improved. But when the season starts, oh, well, I think his distribution is getting better. And then more importantly, I'm looking forward to see a fully fit Memphis Depay because I was so excited about his signing in January. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. So a lot of things to look forward to as an Atleti fan. So, but before we close on the preseason topic, Atleti had a preseason in Korea and then there were a lot of fans and Julio was like, wow, he's surprised that in this part of the world, Atleti has that huge amount of fans. And then Atleti kind of went to Mexico and the fan base there was huge, which is expected given Atleti's links with not just Atletico San Luis, but how big Atleti has been over the years and then to America in San Francisco. So how do you think, because it's like La Liga has created a summer tour now where they are trying to not just grow the league, but also grow club's influence, because I think in the game against Real Betis, you had a family who had traveled far enough to come and see Real Sociedad, and you had the kid like a video on Real Sociedad on Twitter page. It was like, he finally met Kubo and the rest. That was really great to see because things like that help grow La Liga and also grow. So my question is, how do you think this preseason has helped Atleti to like increase their growth globally and also their audience?
Preseason helps a lot in these kinds of matches simply because you're catering to a different kind of audience, you know. It's fine playing in Europe and appealing to the Europeans, but most of the time the Europeans already have a favorite team that they support, you know, with their local time zones. When preseason comes, you have the chance to go around different continents looking at countries of with big markets of individuals who either want to get into the sport and don't know who to follow, or are there to build a connection with a new club. Looking at Atletico, for example, I think that preseason was really heavily influenced by the market this year. Even at the beginning of the market of transfer market, we were being heavily linked with kind of players from these countries that we were going to visit. From the Asian market, for example, we were being linked with Kamada. We were being linked with what's his name from? Sorry, yeah, with Kangin. And at first we were kind of wait, what's going on? And then the club spoke that they're going to play in Korea, and okay, it makes sense. And then we were starting to get linked with some American talent, and then the club spoke that was going to play in San Francisco and Mexico, and like, oh, okay, makes sense. So yes, that was a very big investment, I think, even just spreading out rumors on these sorts of players, getting the hype going before a club visits them. And we already saw the kind of how effect it does, you know. For example, when Kubo went to La Real, the following grew simply because the country had the player who was playing at such a big club, and they could see someone. Or for example, when Pulisic went to Milan, a lot of Americans are starting to watch Milan simply because of Christian Pulisic, you know. I think that sometimes it comes at a cost. For example, our match against La Real was heavily influenced by the team not having enough basically time from the flight to play the match. We could see the football was starting to suffer, and that's a problem when we starting to ship the product from one country to another country. If the players are not fit or are still not accustomed to the country that they just landed on, the product is going to suffer. And even Jill himself spoke about this, you know, when, for example, we play a preseason match, the the fans who have traveled such a distance, they do not want to see a 0-0 score. And that's what he was talking about in one of his interviews in these past couple of weeks, that during preseason he wants to see more goals just for the fans to enjoy the ups and downs of football. Now, does that matter competitively? No, it does not. But unfortunately, when you're starting to build a connection with new fans, that's what they want to see. You know, that's what football is all about. Screaming goal after your favorite player dribbled for other players and scored the goal. That's what builds a connection to players or to a club. La Liga also is, I think, moving towards a better set of investment and with the new program that it is doing. So also with the new rebranding. At first, I was very against a new rebranding simply because you don't know what's going to happen. But I think they're starting to move into a direction to incorporate a bigger fan base to maybe bridge a little bit of the gap that has basically been built between the likes of the Premier League or Bundesliga. The Bundesliga, for example, has a very, very good model of incorporating new fans or getting hype around their players and their teams. And I think La Liga slowly but surely are moving towards that model.
Well, that's nice because I think a critique of the Bundesliga this past season was the fact that just Bayern and Dortmund get to go on tour, which doesn't sound all that ideal, but I think as time goes, I think they will improve. And like you said, La Liga is improving. And like you also mentioned, it's actually a very fine line between actually preparing for the season and also growing your audience, because those two things work hand in glove. Because growing your audience kind of bringing the funds that you need to keep on running the club. Like, more fans means you are growing more while you have more fans, and that means your ambitions and your aim have to also improve. And you mentioned rightly the game against Real Sociedad, which Aliti had to travel from Korea to Mexico. That's like traveling from one end of the world to the other. So it's true that Aliti are increasing their brand and everything globally, but they should not also forget the sporting aspect of everything, which is kind of nice. So we are moving on to the talk about Aliti squad. We have mentioned some profiles in the squad, and which was based on preseason. So, do you think Aliti squad is okay for La Liga, or Aliti needs one on two signing? Because we have talked about needing a defensive midfielder and also needing a striker. So are those the only two places Aliti need to improve? And if they don't improve, is the squad still good enough to compete for La Liga?
It depends on what the club wants, you know. Because if the club wants to stay third place, then it can just stay as it is. But I don't think building a team competitively is just about that, you know. I think Atletico have a lot of chance this season to build a much better squad. As you said, if we can just get one of the two positions sorted out, I think we'll have a much better showing this season than we did the last couple of seasons. Are there other positions that we could strengthen? Yes. I think that, for example, maybe a center back is something that we really need. The likes of Savic, as we said, is declining. Whether Soyuncu will be that player, we'll have to see this year. I think that it's a gamble. But I think, yes, I think the two most important signings that Atletico can make this transfer window would be to manage to find a better striker than Alvaro Morata, and finding a strong, destructive defensive midfielder, as you put it. Now, we both know the issues of Atletico's finances, as most of our listeners do as well. So unless we see some players go out, I don't see anyone coming in by the end of the transfer window.
Well, that's been the motto at Leti for a while. As Gil always says, if somebody leaves, then we'll think about who is going to come. Which is kind of puzzling, as we also mentioned in the podcast, which I and Emiliano talked about, the mismanagement of the funds. If you don't If you're not listening to it, I think you should go check it out, be it on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. So, like you mentioned, finances are kind of an issue of Aleti, and it's, the most of it might be also down to COVID, as not just Aleti, but many other clubs are recovering from it, except the Super League. I mean, not say Super League club, but the Premier League clubs and the Saudi clubs. You talked about Aleti maybe bringing one or two people. Like you said, there's a lot of ifs with the defenders' fitness that we are talking about. So Yeonju, because he just returned from a very, very nasty injury, but he has been decent. Savage as well, he's very inconsistent. And Jimenez, when I say Savage inconsistent, I don't mean in terms of performances, but like you said, he's declining, but his fitness levels are down, because there was last season, Aleti could not play with Savage and Jimenez, both of them were not even on the team sheet, which was kind of sad, because those are the two best defenders Aleti had last season. So it seems Aleti are considering Axel Witsel as a centre-back, which, in my opinion, he had a decent preseason. Defensively, he may be wanting, but in terms of aiding Aleti's ball progression from the building of the back, he seems like a perfect fit, because actually he is towards the end of his career, but he is still giving his all for the team. So, Bert, we talk about arrivals. Who are some of the players you think might leave Aleti this summer?
I think the most obvious player who should leave Atleti this summer is João Félix. He already has come out publicly saying that he wants to leave. The club, I think, are doing everything that they can to find a good offer for João to leave. And if João does leave for whatever sum of money the club is accepting, I think that there is a chance that we manage to get a good player if João leaves, simply because of the wages that he has, simply because of the price tag that the club has put on him. So we have to see on that. Apart from him, I think there are a number of players that if a good offer arrives, I think should consider leaving the club as well. The three that come to mind the most would be Saul himself, simply because of the enormous amount of wages that he has. Llorente, again, high wages, and unfortunately he does not fit the current Simeone system anymore. And I would also think about even moving on Yannick Carrasco. Now, I personally really love Yannick Carrasco. I think that right now he is one of our best options on the left, if not the best option on the left, simply because of what he can offer with the ball, his dribbling, as you said. And he is the player most trusted by Simeone to play on the left-hand side. But unfortunately, right now we have three players competing for that one position. And unless Simeone manages to change the system a little bit for them to play in different positions, I don't see the three of them staying at the end of the transfer market. We've also seen other Saudi club offers coming in for a number of our players, but we're going to have to see if they manage to accept either of them. But I think the three most players that are we are expected to see leave, or at least I want to see leave, would be João Félix, Saul, and Yannick Carrasco.
Well, as for Félix, I think majority, if not all of the Aleti fans, are kind of like okay with the fact that he should leave. Especially given after his statement, he went publicly with Barca and the rest. So it's like it was like a marriage that wasn't meant to be. So that shouldn't be the case. It was, for example, if we are continuing with our One Piece analogy, we are going to talk about Blackbeard, which was the fact that he was part of the Whitebeard Pirates, but it was like that union was not supposed to be. So it seems like it's the same case with Félix. I'm not saying Félix is Blackbeard.
I think that the whole saga around Félix, there is a lot of hindsight and the 2020 vision, as we like to call it, simply because at the time when Félix came to Atletico, he was a marquee signing, you know, Antoine Griezmann had just left, and in came this young player who only played 6 months of professional football, but he had a very, very big potential. Unfortunately, as the years went on, we started to realize that João has attitude issues as well as issues staying consistent on the pitch. For a couple of seasons, he was also playing with injury, which does not help. I'm not saying that it's all Joao Felix's fault, but at the same time, he does not do himself any favors. He knows the kind of squad that he picked to join, and he wasn't ready to work under Simeone. That's really all on him right now.
Yeah, for sure, because he publicly is like what Guilmarin said, the coach and Felix don't see football the same way, which is kind of sad, because like you said, he before joining, he knew what he was joining. So we're talking about Felix, and I was thinking about my One Piece analogy, and I was thinking, you say he was somebody who came with a lot of like a marquee signing, and then he kind of like didn't live up to expectation. And I'm thinking about One Piece, and I'm thinking of like a character which he came with a lot of, you know, expectations, and then he left, and nobody's come to my well. Hopefully one comes and we can say that is the Felix of One Piece. So back to what we were talking about. As for Felix, I think that's obvious. For Carrasco, left to be seen. It seems Cholo wants to keep him because I think of what I just mentioned, how much the system depends on him. But if he doesn't stay, then it's that all that good. And then if he doesn't leave, then it's all that is good, because of his at his best, he's one of the best dribblers in the world. In my opinion, it's just that he's inconsistent in doing that. And as for Llorente, you have a massive offer from Saudi, which I think will be beneficial for the club. And like we have mentioned, why he's not going to be a starter this season, but what he offers off the ball can be great against teams that press high. Like, for example, you have Real Sociedad. So, looking forward to that. And it seems Saúl is staying and he won't be leaving. And there's also an offer for Savic. But if that offer comes, it seems Aliti will have to bring in someone. But I'm also doubting, because if the offer came, I don't think Aliti would have allowed Mourinho to go on loan to Real Zaragoza. So, how you rate Aliti's transfer business so far on 10?
Simply because we haven't gotten a defensive midfielder yet, I would put it a 6.
Okay, fair enough. People have give worse ratings, you know. So, we have talked about preseason. We have talked about Aliti's squad. And do you think this squad is prepared for the season, even if Aliti doesn't buy a 6 and a striker? Do you think this squad can last throughout the season?
I think the squad is better equipped than last season. I think that if the club wants to finish third, then it's perfectly fine. Again, after looking at the players that, for example, left by last season or the beginning of the preseason, and the players that have come in, I do think that we're better off than last year, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see again if some players overperform, underperform, or injuries, for example, hit us bad. We're going to have, I think, though, that we have a pretty decent squad coming into this year. Defensively, I think we're better off than we were last year.
Okay, it seems talking about, let's say, everything is about ifs, and the main issue is fitness. But one of the positive heading into the season is the fact that Aliti had the usual training at Los Angeles San Rafael, which kind of get the players physically fit. And it was during the training that we had injuries to Jimenez and Molina, but that was okay. And I believe that of Molina is not too long, because I think he missed the first 2 or 3 games of the season. As for Jimenez, you have 5 to 6 weeks, or even worse, but we are hoping for the best. So heading to match day one with lot of, I would say, optimism and positivity, because a lot of fans were happy with how Aliti approached the game during the preseason, and they are looking forward to seeing Cholismo 2.0 or 3.0, or like the Spanish Aliti fans are calling Cholo Taka. So if you are an Aliti fan, or you are not an Aliti fan, be looking forward to Cholo Taka this season. So, but Aliti play match day one against Granada. And the head coach of Granada is Paco Lopez, someone who has terrorized Aliti for long. And when I say terrorized, because he was the head coach of Levante, and he kind of stayed there for a while before he got sacked last season, and Levante also got relegated. Sorry, season before last, I think last season, yes, and Levante also got relegated. But we know the type of coach he is, a very brave coach in his dressing, in how he wants his team to play. He doesn't care if it's Barca or Real. He goes high, he presses high. His team are very good, building up from the back. So, how do you see Granada this season, and how do you see them heading into match day one?
I think this season round, Atletico are going to be much better equipped dealing with teams who press high, simply because of the number of players that we have that are ready to take players on compared to previous season. Granada, we all remember their coach and what he does to us over the years. But I think that with the current Granada squad, we should be ready to have a good game in our favor. There are a number of players, the familiar faces that have joined Granada in this summer transfer window. I don't have to, I think, give any information on Jesus Vallejo, who is a center back arriving to Granada. There is also the return of Areto, who was linked with Atletico for a number of transfer windows. And also a player who some Getafe fans might remember, Gonzalo Villar, who didn't manage to convince Mourinho in his time in Roma. He's going to return to La Liga, this time with Granada. As well as a defensive midfielder, Gerard, from Elche. Well, I say defensive midfielders. I think he had quite a number of roles with Elche last year. So we're going to have to see how he manages to fit into this Granada squad. Yeah?
No, you can go on.
Also returning veteran players. For example, someone I remember a lot is Caliahon. Well, it's going to be interesting seeing Caliahon back in La Liga.
Yeah, it was quite nice when he joined Granada last season, and it was actually great because we can all recall the type of player he is, a very good winger who is really pacey, but now he's towards the end of his career, so he may not be that pace, but that doesn't mean he will not cause a lot of trouble for Atleti. And you mentioned some quite name last for Granada, and be Paco Lopez. Like I said, he's like a Levante, we all know, even last season with Granada, he's 4-4-3, and he seemed like to press high when they have the ball, they like to play through the opponent and create those chances. And you also have another guy, Mitio Uzuni, the Albanian, who scored 23 goals in the Segunda last season and had 5 assists, which is quite incredible. We are going to see how he kind of reproduces that this season. And then you have Sean Weissman, who came to La Liga and had a bright side, but after that, it's been like a yo-yo for him, up and down, and things have not been great. And it seems the midfield profiles of Granada are quite technical, like technicians, let's say that, players who are very good on the ball. You have the Villa, which you mentioned. You have Oscar Melendo from Espanyol, one of my favorite players. I like love watching. Then you also have Victor Mesengo, a guy I followed while he was at Mirandes, and a very, very good defensive midfielder who I think is still growing. But if he can nail down the not moving so much, I think he will be very, very good. And I think he won't last at Granada for long. Maybe he can be the one to solve Atleti's five problem in the future. Who knows? Like you said, Granada, a newly promoted team, they have been a up and down La Liga. If you don't follow La Liga that often, but I urge you to follow the league because there are a lot of nice teams like Granada with a lot of good players, which I just mentioned some. And like, for example, you have a former Atleti player who will be playing. You have a former Atleti graduate, Ricard Sanchez. He played for Atleti once at right back, and he was really decent, especially very good going forward, but was not so good defensively. But his 2 years in the second half kind of shaped him. So hopefully he doesn't play at his best against the club which trained him. Who never knows. So, like you mentioned, I think the most popular name there, and many Atleti fans will know, be Jesus Vallejo, the world best defender. They are pretty good, especially their fullbacks. Their fullbacks are really good, exactly. So Atleti will have to be wary of that. Like you said, when we were talking about Paco Lopez, how he caused Atleti a lot of trouble. So, like you said, Atleti, it would be good to see this game against Atleti, because I'm expecting Granada not to maybe press so high, but I'm expecting them to be brave in their approach and that would be, like, in my opinion, a test for maybe Atleti's press or Atleti's mid block, and then also a test for Atleti bypassing their high press, because I expect them to be in a mid block, because I don't know Paco Lopez as a coach who, like, kind of sits deep. Every team kind of sits deep at doing game states, but he's a guy who's, like I mentioned, like a brave approach. So, Beth, if I'm to ask you, what do you expect from the game tactically wise? What are you going to say?
From our end? From Atletico, I think we're going to see. First of all, we're going to see what sort of role that Cholo will give Riquelme, because I think that he's going to be one of the players in the starting 11 in this match, especially without Molina. We're going to have to pay close attention as well to the strikers, you know, because I think that the kind of game that we're going to play against Paco Lopez team, maybe someone like Morata would be very good at the start, simply because of the kind of physicality that he manages to bring to the team, and also carrying the ball forward until we see Carrasco or De Paul asking for the ball. I also think that it's going to be an interesting match for Mario Hermoso, simply because he doesn't have to sit so deep and with the ball ready forward. Once he manages to get the ball, we're going to have to see what's going to happen with the start of the counterattack. So I think it's going to be a very interesting match where Cholo will have to use a lot of counterattack to hurt Granada. Especially, as you said, how Paco Lopez really likes to put forward with the ball and manages to create chances even against Simeone's teams. But the kind of players that we do have, I think, are very dangerous on the counter. So we're going to have to rely on them to basically hit back against them, against Paco.
Yeah, I think in my opinion, the best teams like in the world, or some of the best teams in the world. For example, if we're watching the women's World Cup, Japan, who have just been knocked out, they were actually fascinating because they kind of play anyhow. That means, for example, what I'm expecting from this season for Atleti is, against the big boys, we expect maybe an aggressive Atleti who don't have a lot of the ball but can't attack. But now, like you said, meeting teams like Granada with lower quality as compared to Atleti, but who like to be brave. So what happens? If Atleti can be multifaceted, that means Atleti can take advantage of the turnovers in midfield, which we are going to force, given how Simeone's team is always compact and love to deny central progression. That would be fantastic. Building up from the back and creating those overloads on the left, then finding a free player on the right, which would be fantastic as well. So those are some of the things I'm looking forward to the game. And one of the things that will pique my interest would be how Roro wants to receive the ball, because in the game against Sevilla, he destroyed, in my opinion, a lot of attacks, or slowed down a lot of attacks, because he wanted the ball to fit. But as a wing back in the current system Atleti are playing, which the setup is a 3-5-2, where you have the wing backs are kind of key in it, but you also have creating those spaces for the wing back to attack in it. So he liked to receive the ball to fit, which was slow down the attack and kill a lot of attacks. And you know, in football, space and time are key. And when you want the ball to fit, the space in front of you and the time you may have had over the opponent kind of diminishes. So that's something I'm looking forward to, given if he starts the game, because there are a lot of rumors, especially for Marca, that he might be the preferable choice for match day one against Granada. So, Beth, what do you think will be the starting 11 for Atleti in that game?
So for the game against Granada tomorrow and on Monday, I think we're going to see Morata and Griezmann start the match. Carrasco and I think Llorente will actually start the match, and we'll see Roro coming on later on. So Carrasco and Llorente on the wings, Lemar, Koke, De Paul in the middle of the park, Hermoso, Savic, and Soyuncu starting on the back, and of course the great Jan Oblak in goalkeeper.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think this is a game which might suit Morata more than Memphis because I think there will be space to attack and also Llorente. So, but well, fingers crossed. Let's see how Cholo goes with it. So, but one last question. No, well, let me not say one last question, but what do you think are Atleti's objective for this season? Because Cholo says that the fans are not happy just finishing third. They want more. Because you know when you test victory, you just want to keep on winning. And it's the same when you win a title. So Cholo himself, he has said that he knows that the club kind of underperformed, but finished just qualifying for the Champions League and maybe going as far as you can in the Champions League and also going as far as you can in the Copa del Rey might be the bot's objective. But you know the fans want more, and he says that they have the right to want more because he himself also want more. So what do you think will be, we all know the bot's objectives, a top four finish, a good run in the Champions League, Copa del Rey, we do what we can, and that's the board of justice. But what do you think should be, or what do you think will be Atleti's, that when I say Atleti, I mean Cholo's objective this season? Or what do you think Atleti can achieve this season? Let me put it that way.
Well, first off, I think it would be very difficult for us to want more than what Cholo has managed to get us so far. I think Cholo has managed to do so much. But I do think that as a club, always, we have to push game by game, as Cholo likes to say, partido a partido. I think this season, with what we have, we can push more in the both the cup competitions than we used to do in previous years. I think that this year, maybe Cholo and the rest of the players should give a lot of importance to the Copa del Rey this year. I think we have a very good chance of them going well. Also, let's not forget that this year there is the Supercopa de España. I don't think that the team really cares that much about this competition, but it would be nice to at least have one hand on silverware this year. As for Champions League, I think with so many clubs in Europe getting stronger over these past couple of years, that getting past the first knockout round would be very good for us, especially considering that we didn't even manage to go past the group stages last year. But La Liga would be special if Simeone again manages to find good form in the team and manage to seriously challenge this year for a good finish close to whoever is going to win La Liga. Could also possibly be Atletico, but I wouldn't bet on it right now, not with the team that we have. So yes, I think if I were Simeone, I would try to push for a close second finish in La Liga, trying to go for Copa del Rey, whatever happens in the Supercopa de España, and then getting past the first round of the Champions League. I think if we manage to do these objectives this season, it would be a very, very good season compared to what we experienced these past 3 years.
Okay, well, I agree with, I think, almost all what you have said, but I just have a hunch that we can experience 2015-2016 La Liga, where the title race was really close and it was really exciting. I think we may have that this season in La Liga. And as for the Copa del Rey, it's a trophy that is not so highly rated within the board because of finances, but I would love for us to win it. Then, like you said, the Supercopa will also love for us to win, but anything happens, we go. And as for the Champions League, get past the group stages, and also I think our performances should improve because we have kind of struggled a lot in the Champions League recently. So, but to finish the pod, you said you are a fan of One Piece, and I think I will pick four players or five players. Luckily for me, you watch anime, and I'm going to tell you. You are going to tell me what you think they are One Piece equivalent. Is that okay?
Okay.
In terms of ability, that okay. Yeah. So, Griezmann.
Griezmann. Luffy. very similar
to the main character.
Always smiling, always ready for a challenge. I think.
Yeah, that's a nice one. The next one might be tough. Jean Oblak.
Someone. It's going to be tough because someone who is always serious. Serious but strong at the same time. I would say Jan Oblak would be Akainu.
Well,
one of the strongest characters in One Piece, but at the same time, very serious. Yeah, I think that's Jan Oblak.
Yeah, that's close. And now the next, Angelito Correa.
Chopper. Tony Chopper, always lovable character, but yeah, we know we all love Angelito.
So I'm sure majority of the fans will agree that you pretty much have 3-on-3 because you're going so well. So the next we are going to ask for is for Memphis
Depay. Simply because of his character, Frankie.
A kind of show off
of what you can do, you know, the kind of guy always with the funky clothes. I think, yeah, he fits Frankie quite well.
Okay, and I'm sure this one might be easy. Simeone.
When I think about Simeone, the first person that comes to mind is Garp. Such a good relationship with Greenland, you know. Again.
Wow, but your knowledge of One Piece is fantastic. If I'm to give, I give you a 5/5. I don't know how other fans would rate, but I think we might put up a poll when we upload the podcast to see how good it is.
Let's see. If anyone has any better comparisons, I would like to know.
Okay, for sure. So, but finally, we have come to the end of this podcast, and it's been amazing spending more than an hour with you. So, thanks so much for the invitation, and thanks for also sharing your knowledge with us because you are very knowledgeable about Aliti. One of the first friends I met on Twitter, and you are a very nice guy. So, thank you so much.
Thank you again for having me. I honestly always enjoy my time talking with you. I remember the first few days that I was on Twitter. I was under a different name, and you are one of the first few people that that actually used to respond to me when I was new. So yeah, thanks about that.
Ooh, kind of making me feel like a granddaddy now, you know.
I still remember those Koke photos. So yeah,
those in those days. Well, if you are listening to the pod and you don't know, I think it's no secret. Koke is my favorite player of all time, and he is the best in my opinion. Well, that's the conversation for another day. So guys, thank you, Beth, and thank you to the listeners. So remember, nunca deja de creer, never stop believing. See you next time.